We've been talking a little bit about the Josh Allen contract talks, following up on our discussion with Brandon Bean yesterday, and we're going to go to the Westar Hotline to get into this a little bit more. And we've mentioned this spot, heard us talk about it a lot. It's a great website when it comes to contract stuff, SpotTrack. And the guy who is SpotTrack, basically, and was probably busy with NBA contracts last night, is Michael Jannetty, and he joins us on the Westar Hotline. Michael, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. Nice to have you on again.
Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Josh Allen's contract extension. So we know there's a little bit of a deadline here. Brandon Bean mentioned yesterday with us, Michael, they'd like to try and get it done by opening day. If not, they'll probably wait till the offseason. If they get this thing done within the next 4 weeks or so, right now, what would a Josh Allen extension look like?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my initial projection because nothing else in the market has really changed to push it otherwise. So it's still about 4 for $170 for me in terms of new money, new years. Really just a blown out version of what Deshaun Watson got from Houston not too long ago. And speaking of which, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, a lot of these quarterbacks coming out of rookie contracts, we see them sign early September. You know, deadline spur actions, great people have said. And I believe that's what Brandon Bean has done here. He's put a clock on it to be able to say, hey, I'm going to get this thing done. You want to get this thing done. I'm going to put a day on it, essentially. And it'll force us to get this thing done sooner rather than later here.
You mentioned, Watson and Goff and the value and all that. And Jeremy and I were mentioning this earlier. Would you agree, like, the money, as much as we're talking, it's a big figure, is the fairly easy part of it? Like, determining his average value isn't really that hard. He's going to be behind Mahomes, and he's either at or maybe a little ahead of Prescott and Watson, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. To me, the average salary is a dying art right now. It's about the guarantees. It's about the structure. It's about how long do we actually want this guy here in terms of stability and things like that. How much control should we give ourselves to be able to get out of this thing after 3 years? It gets real nerdy real fast, but that's the kind of stuff that Brandon Bean has to worry about right now, especially with the Jared Goffs and the Carson Wentzes out there.
When it comes to if they don't hit their deadline this year, I don't know, Mike, do you have like a sliding scale of how much it costs you to miss on that a year? I mean, I know that with the Cowboys, we talk about Dak Prescott, and Stephen Jones even said that they made a mistake. Like, they openly came out and said they made a mistake. So will it cost the Bills X amount of dollars to not hit their mark this year?
Yeah, you know, I heard the Dallas Cowboys kind of say that too, and I'm shocked to hear them say that because to me, they did exactly what they wanted to do. And oh, by the way, Dak still got the exact same contract he was going to get, right? So it was just 2 years later with $65 million worth of franchise tags under his belt at that point. So to me, nothing is going to deter this contract from happening. I tried to do some quick research to prepare for this to find out where are these quarterbacks signing? Is it after year three? Is it after year four? Is it, you know, are Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott sort of the outliers? And of course they are. Almost everybody does after year three. Almost everybody. The only example I could find that's sort of relevant, even though it's like 8 years old, is Cam Newton coming out of Carolina. And they waited till after year four. They did an early extension that summer on Cam Newton, and two or three players blew by him at the end of the summer. I'm talking like $2-3 million more per year. So I guess that's the example of if you do wait and you do an early summer contract extension with your quarterback, there's a chance that it looks great. And the Bills have a great example of that with Tre'Davious White and Jalen Ramsey.
If they were to wait, so the whole idea of someone zooming past or impacting a Josh Allen contract, we're really talking about one guy, right? Lamar Jackson, because Baker Mayfield's not getting more money than Josh Allen, right? Even if he signs today.
No, and that's why he's not signing today, because he knows that he's the third cog in that wheel right now, and he's going to have trouble getting himself $40 million based on what I've got productively and what a lot of people are saying out there. So he wants to wait it out. He wants to see if this Browns team can push him into Josh Allen range, which is very likely right now. I just don't know what else Josh Allen can do. Dak Prescott had a serious injury last year. He still got paid. Nothing is stopping a quarterback from getting their $40-plus million right now if they're on a winning team and they're the reason why. So I don't know that waiting really means all that much to either the Bills or Josh Allen. For me, Josh Allen waiting has a pro and a con. A, you want to get it done right now so that you can get out of this thing in 4 years before you're 30 years old and have maximum value to redo it again for contract number three. But also, the reason to wait if I'm Josh Allen is there's a ton of money coming in a year and a half here.
Yeah.
2023 is going to be crazy, stupid money. There's going to be a ton more room. The Bills will be able to front load that thing, which I'm sure Brandon Bean is trying to do, even though the cap is what it is. He has a knack for wanting to put a lot of big-time roster bonuses early in these contracts. so that his dead cap situation gets out of the way early. So my guess is that both of these parties would be comfortable waiting a little bit, and I don't think it's going to deter the money really at all.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point, what the players think is going to be their fair share or what they can get out of. Like Jeremy brought up gambling yesterday. I mean, legalized sports betting, and think of all the revenues there. The next TV contract is almost doubled from the current one, and then, oh, by the way, fans are coming back. So ticket revenues will be back up. But if you throw in future TV and future betting, you would think the players are thinking, I better get some of this.
Look, we've got the cap projected at 208 next year, which is already $20 million up from where it is this year with the down year. And then what we're hearing is it could go to 230 in 2 years, in 2023. So it's going to be a substantial, like, NBA-type jump. This is how the Golden State Warriors became the Golden State Warriors. They sort of timed everything perfectly to make sure that all their pieces could fit into the puzzle when that big balloon happened. So there's a lot of teams that are going to have that kind of mindset. The Bills are in a weird mindset because, A, they do have this big quarterback contract and maybe a couple of defensive contracts to sneak in here. But at the same time, this is their window. So they can't finagle too much with looking down the road. You got to get what's got to get done now. But I do think that the Allen contract could wait, you know, maybe a 10 to 12 months, and really nobody would think otherwise of it.
We're with Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack. Michael, what would a Lamar Jackson extension look like right now? You said 4 for $170 for Josh. What about, and he does have an MVP. What about Lamar Jackson?
He does have an MVP, and he's got more stats to kind of go along with it, unfortunately. Look, I've got the Jackson contract. Jackson, for me, has been at $42.5 million per year since he won that MVP. That's just the kind of productivity he's been able to put on the field. There was a bit of a step back last year, but to me, I look at 2-3 years when I'm evaluating these processes. So honestly, Josh and Lamar are pretty much neck and neck. The problem goes back to then, is it a horse race, right? If one of these guys goes first, does then Josh Allen's contract say, I have to be $2.5 million more than that now. I need to be approaching Patrick Mahomes because the market has moved. There is money coming. I'm sure the negotiation process has been exhausting in that regard. But I do think there is something to getting done first. I think there's at least a good enough track record to say, get it done, get it out of the way, get the number you think you deserve, because somebody else could come out and be stupid about it and put you in a really bad spot.
You know, you mentioned Mahomes, right? So he's at 45 a year on the average. Somebody, one of our listeners, tweeted at us earlier and said, what if Allen wins the MVP and the Bills win the Super Bowl this year? Could he pass Mahomes?
I did some work on this, too. You know, Flacco wins the Super Bowl, gets a new contract. He was on an expiring contract. Mahomes, year 3, extension eligible, wins the Super Bowl, gets a new contract. It depends on the age, I think. I really think that matters. So, yes, I think there's a chance that if Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl this year, that it looks a lot like the Mahomes situation where, holy cow, now this is more than just, you know, stats on the book and an eye test on the field. Now it's a legendary thing. Now there's a franchise piece to it that we need to keep this guy here because he's so marketable that it's silly not to give him the legendary contract and give him legend status with this franchise. I think about this with baseball a lot. Now you're a big baseball guy, Howard. You know, I've been clamoring for the Yankees to trade Aaron Judge for a year and a half here.
Yeah.
But I think that's how they view him. I think he's going to be the next iteration of this legend status. They're going to pay him stupid money because they can market him in New York City. And that's good enough for the Yankees right now.
You know, I haven't checked your Mets page at SpotTrack, but I'm guessing Bobby Bonilla is still on the payroll page for you. Structure. You mentioned earlier, you know, we were saying how money's not necessarily the toughest part. It's how you structure it. And I always think, is there, of all the quarterback contracts you've looked at, is there one that you would say, hey, Brandon Bean, follow this model where the player gets his money and the player is happy, but the team gets the most salary cap friendly structure to the deal? Because the Mahomes one is interesting, right? They load up bonuses in his contract.
Yeah, huge roster bonuses, pretty much starting this year, year 2. You know, the cap is so friendly for those first couple of years that it's allowed them to keep so many of their own pieces and become contenders. If the Bills feel like that's what their plan is, if they like exactly what they are, and I think this offseason proved that they did, because they were able to keep many of their players at, you know, a couple million dollars under market value, according to our numbers, then that's the approach. The approach is to push this thing out maybe more than a four new years, maybe 5 or 6 new years, maybe an 8-year contract total, and allow yourself the opportunity to keep this year low and restructure in the next 2 to 3 years here to keep those cap hits low. And when the cap does explode, you'll have plenty of room then to fit in, your big-time contracts, a new one for Stephon Diggs next year, certainly Tremaine Edmonds, those kind of deals. and keep the band together here for a bunch more years inside of your window. The problem then comes, and you know, it's going to happen with Mahomes. What happens in 2025? You know, the cap will certainly be there for them. They'll have no trouble that wise, but will they like the situation they're in, and can they get out of it? There's just so much, you know, on the back end of Mahomes' deal to worry about. I can't see Brandon Bean doing something that drastic. If anything, for me, Deshaun Watson's contract, it's a little bit more traditional. The first 2 years were structured properly. He's, you know, he's only making $10 million base salary this year, maybe, quotations.
Yeah.
And then they still have tons of flexibility next year to restructure and move on from there. I think it's going to be a little bit more traditional with Brandon Bean's structure. But look, you know, if, like I said, if it's a Super Bowl win for the Bills this year, all things are on the table.
Mike, you do a lot of work with complicated numbers and all these contracts and these big $100 million. Any stadium plans? Help us out with getting that thing figured out?
That's a little bit too rich for my blood. My goodness, that's boy, the timing of that news couldn't be worse, right? The fans are getting back in the stands, and now we have to deal with that noise.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? One last thing I forgot. I mentioned I'm not doing this just because you're on the show with us. SpotTrack's a great site. And one of the things you can do when you go to the Bills page, you can go to the multi-year summary. And I think this is something to say about Brandon Bean. You know, Allen is a big contract. It's going to take up cap space and all that. But the Bills in the window, 2-3 years for sure, the next two, they're in really great shape with their contracts. The next biggest deal, I think, would be one of the two guys you mentioned, either a renegotiated Diggs contract or if you decide to go with an extension for Tremaine Edmonds. But really, Michael, right, if you look at the Bills' setup, that, you know, Trey White's contract, done. Deion Dawkins, done. Matt Milano, done. They're in really good shape.
It's a really good thing to have what they have right now. You know, their roster almost all locked down, and then have to worry about the quarterback contract.
Yeah.
That is like the prototypical way to build your team, right? So many teams do it the other way around. They draft the quarterback number one overall. They hope it fixes things. They end up having to pay him in 2 to 3 years, and the rest of the roster is still sort of in shambles. So the fact that we're here, and you look around this room, and the only thing you might have to handle are renegotiations, restructures, you know, maybe some guys feel like they're not worth what they're getting right now, or, you know, that's good problems to have. But it's also a reason to keep your cap sort of flexible. You want to make sure you have some money in the back of the banana stand in case Stephon Diggs comes back and says, hey, you know, if he has the year he could have, we're talking DeAndre Hopkins money, which is $25 million plus per year. We're talking Devonta Adams money. So that's where things are going. Some of these positions are really pushing forward fast. And I think there's something to get it done early, like I talked about, like the Tre'Davious White situation, yeah, which cornerbacks have blown up past them since then.
SpotTrack.com is where you want to go. It is a fabulous site with all the leagues covered. Wow, even racing. I'm just looking at all the subheadings. Michael, thanks. Thanks for taking time out. You're always kind with your time with us on the show. We appreciate you joining us again this morning.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good one.